has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
What's your contribution going to be? What problems are you going to solve? What discoveries will you make?
I intend to broadcast from this ship 24 hours a day until the day I die. And then for a couple days after that.
No one's written your destiny for you. You make your own future.
I've always lived for news and weather. Happy to die for them too. Especially the weather.
Hello, you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio, a weekly youth-run public affairs call-in talk show.
Tonight we'll be discussing hip-hop with local hip-hop artists Sonia Tomlinson and Saeed Brent. I'm Alana Dramon.
And I'm Iris Sangiovanni. This is a call-in show, so please call in with any questions or comments. The number is 780-4909. Again, 780-4909. So originally this show was going to be hosted by a residents and local fellow radio producers at Long Creek Youth Development Center, but unfortunately they were unable to join us this evening. We'll first be playing a piece done by Long Creek resident Reagan. Reagan interviewed Andrew Coffin and Tom Clorius about Maine's first hip-hop summit. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes.
I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes. Why do having these material things make one successful? This is just an example from what our generation of hip-hop is rapping about. Tim Clorius and Andrew Coffin are trying to bring back hip-hop to its original meaning of showing your talents and creativity. One way they're trying to do this is through an event called Maine's First Hip Hop Summit. This took place in Portland for kids to express their love for hip hop. This is what the founders had to say. I sat down with them and talked about the meaning of the event and what they wanted the message to be to the young kids.
My name is Andrew Coffin.
And my name is Tim Clorius.
Can you guys tell me about the event?
I think the event went great. There was a lot of healing. We had the East Bayside Policing Department that was there, so the kids felt safe. I think for me, the highlight of the event was having Youth Moves, which is a hip-hop dance group from Mayo Street Arts. We had a graffiti wall, and kids from ages from 3 and 4 years old all the way up to 18 were really having a great time and just kind of experiencing the power of community, kind of experiencing the power of art and music and dance.
What was beautiful about this event is just what you could see when the event was happening. There was a lot of skill, and there was a very high skill level, and people came from quite far away, as I understand, like to participate in the different competitions. And from the point that we're talking about it, just for definition's sake, when we're talking about hip-hop, we're really talking about the four elements, like breakdancing, MCing, DJing, rap music, so graffiti. We sort of, it's a different thing, and all that was born out of fierce competition, and it was a peaceful competition, so it was really fierce. Everybody tried to be better than the other, and it was a natural progression, and that's, so in the park, you know, like it was breakdancers practicing and really fiercely competing with other breakdancers everywhere else, and that made this movement sort of a natural movement that now a lot of people say we want to go back to, that where it was about these skills, where it was about friendships and all this stuff, and that's where they feel this beauty about young people spending their time practicing such things as breakdancing and DJing and graffiti and rapping and MCing. For us to see that and see all these people that don't necessarily look like safe, do you know what I mean? Like all play like so nicely together like a big family, it was pretty cool.
What first got you interested in hip-hop and rap?
For me, what really, I'm from Germany, so I have a different, you know, I rap music. It was Stieber Twins and Torch, like that's still today a huge fan. Those are sort of, I see those, that generation for me as my mentors. That's what I'm coming from. That's what I want to represent. When we're really talking about hip hop, what's important is where it's going in a really bad direction. It's about wealth and status, and it's all just a game. I want to say something here that people need to know. When rap stars like pretend they're so rich and pretend this lifestyle that we all want, because we all want to have a good lifestyle, it's all rented. It's not real. Like, you know, the jewelry that they're flashing, they're renting that for $20,000 a month. Their jewelry, their new sneakers, their cars, because otherwise they can't even get respect in this fake culture. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so all that money gets blown out the window for nothing, just so people would listen. And I want to see hip hop go to the point again where people can come from the street, can come from nothing, have nothing, do a recording album in their garage, promote it, make a business out of that. Take over those companies that right now are mooching off the culture, are taking all that away. That's the stuff that needs to change. Like, people need to think about our world, our life, our society, the world we're living in, the dirt we're putting into our environment, the way we're treating our kids. Why is there no skate park in Portland? Well, you know, or was there not? Why is it, it's all banned? Like, where are the kids? When do we think about what youth want to do? You know, they want to do something fun that's adventurous, and then they do that, and then they get in trouble.
What's your role in the hip-hop community?
My role is to bring everybody together. The artists, the community leaders, the city of Portland, and create a trustful relationship, a positive relationship, so that we can do these kinds of venues every year and celebrate the youth and celebrate hip-hop.
Do you think this is making the hip-hop community in Maine bigger or more successful?
I definitely think it is, and I think it is going to change things. I think what's going to change is there's going to be a more positive environment for the youth. It's very important for these kids in all neighborhoods all around America, and of course in Maine, and of course in Portland, to have people that can kind of reach out to them that are in their culture as role models and provide a positive place for learning, to provide a positive ideas about living, about taking care of oneself, about taking care of others. And I think that's really what is happening and what is going on.
What do you think the mainstream message is of hip-hop?
The mainstream message is that you can't trust anybody, that you got to be extremely violent to be successful, that you should drive a nice car. If you're not, you're a loser. If you can't afford a big ring, you're a loser. If you don't give your wife a big ring, you're a loser. You don't love her. Everything that's unimportant, everything that's stupid gets elevated, and everything that's extremely important, like street smarts, intelligence, compassion, loyalty, support for everybody's openness, flexibility, openness of mind, growing, all the hip-hop rules that KRS-One lays out for us and all this stuff, totally neglected, totally fallen to the side and kicked under the carpet because they're maybe too difficult to deal with. I don't know, like, you know, and our society, it's not the fault of the kids that do it. It's the fault of sort of the, honestly, the white society that implants that negative seed because they want consumers. And, you know, to kind of roll up your sleeves and just put some dance mats on the floor and have your jam doesn't really make for good consumerism because they can't earn money on that. So they want, you know, that you have the newest Nikes. You know, they want that you have the so-and-so, that you think you can't wear your shoes if they have a smudge on them. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at my shoes, you know what I mean? Like, but this event was an underground attempt. It was supposed to bring back all the underground main artists that have been there forever. It's uniting all the different crews, all the different elements. You know, it's trying to unite the older, the legends of the movement here in Portland with the younger ones, with the mid-grade ones, to see that whole card stack through the things, make connections, teach a little bit, learn a little bit, be inspired. That's what that is about, real hip-hop, like on a dance floor on the floor with the graffiti around and the rapping and the breakdance, everything. You know, none of the commercial stuff. We did not have Nike represent there, and we did not have the Army scout for new soldiers either. So,
when Tim was talking about the rapper's life, how it's all rented and only can make it in the industry if they have thanks to Flash, everyone, really made me take a second outlook on the music nowadays. It's going to definitely change my perspective of these rappers. Reporting for Blunt Youth Radio, I am Reagan from Long Creek.
All right, so thank you, Reagan, for that feature. Again, she talked to Andrew Coffin and Tim Colorius about Maine's first hip-hop summit. I'd like to remind our listeners that we have in studio with us two local hip-hop artists, Sonia Tomlinson, who is better known as Santiago, and when she isn't laying down the beats and lyrics, she's the grants and outreach manager at the Maine's Women Fund, and she's the event staff. She's on event staff at Space Gallery, and occasionally is a teaching artist at the Telling Room. Also with us is Saeed Brent, who is a local hip-hop artist and educator. So thank you for being with us. And also to remind our listeners, this is a call-in show, so please, if you have any questions or comments, the number is 780-4909. Again, that's 780-4909. All right. So one of the things that stood out to us is that Tim was saying that he feels that the hip-hop culture is, you know, going in a bad direction. Would you agree? What are your thoughts? We'll start with Saeed.
Saeed, yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think that, I guess what's, you know, when you turn on the TV and when you, you know, turn on most radio, that type of hip-hop, that type of music is definitely, it's not even gone. It has gone. You know what I mean? It's already packaged, bought, sold. That's a whole different life, whole different thing. It's got its purpose, I feel, you know? I mean, there's some of those songs like, you know, if I'm in the club, okay, you know, sometimes that's songs I want to hear. I'm not, you know, opposed to most of it. However, as far as hip-hop as a culture and what, you know, and the music I really enjoy, that's awesome and still thriving and still doing well and still accessible. You know, I can hear it by, you know, hearing homie CDs. I can hear it when I go, you know, check out a local show. I can hear it when I turn on the right, you know, radio station on the underground radio. You know what I mean? It's out there. It's just not, you have to, you know, like anything worthwhile, you got to kind of work for it, kind of look for it. And it's not even that underneath, I don't think. I mean, there's great music out there. It's just what you choose to listen to. You know, you can go with what everybody else is doing, or you can find your own ear.
Yeah, I'm going to tag on to that. I feel like I don't want to make this broad generalization that hip-hop is going in a wrong direction. I think it's what's put in front of you, I mean, like what's fed to you. If you can't look beyond that, then your perception of hip-hop might be that it's commercialized and bought and sold and without message. But I think there are definitely, I mean, I'm excited about artists that are peeking into the mainstream, artists like Macklemore, who have some great messages, and MIA, she's a hero of mine. And so I think that there are people that are out there that are rising to the surface that make me hopeful. I think Saeed and I are from, and Tim Clorius, actually, are from a day when, you know, there are groups like the Native Tongues, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, Black Sheep. And it's interesting because even when I revisit those groups now, if I'm to take them at face value, they're far more amazing than anything that I've heard since. So that's just, I think that's hard, because when hip-hop was born, it was thriving. And so it's sustained, but I think what your generation is hearing, the first stop to hip-hop, is not necessarily what we think of.
Uh-huh. And, definitely. Like, all those groups you mentioned, would you consider them, like, your inspiration for getting into hip-hop, or?
Oh, God, yeah. I was just, it's funny. I sometimes wonder if someone were to look at my iPod's 25 top-played songs, if they'd think I'd ever graduated beyond 1994.
That's the thing. We're the 90s was it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what you say. There will never, ever be music made like that again when it comes to hip-hop.
Yeah.
Simply said.
It was the renaissance of hip-hop. Yeah, it was definitely. It. And so it's hard to compare. That, for me, huge inspiration. So I got into music when I was 16, and huge inspirations for me were Queen Latifah, De La Soul, and then I moved into college and it was Outkast. I lived in North Carolina, so for me it was like Goody Mob, Outkast. Living in the South, that was a huge inspiration, and still. And, you know, it's interesting. As a woman in hip-hop, there are some lyrics that I have to compromise my morals for, and it's okay, and I can appreciate that. I just wish that everything on mainstream radio that I didn't have to do that to. In fact, I was listening to Drake's Money Over Everything, and I was like, what if I redid this song and filled in Money with Integrity over everything, and how would that change? You know, I definitely inspired by early folks, and currently just M.I. is a real hero for me, and
definitely
Janelle Monáe, and
so
awesome.
Fantastic.
You can go back and listen to, like, a lot of the groups you said, or, like, you know, any of those groups from the 90s. It wasn't like they weren't, like, you know, braggadocious or, like, you know, cocky. They were, I mean, LL Cool J, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Tribe Called, all those dudes were extremely, you know, confident. But just listen to what's coming out of their mouths versus what's coming out of mouths now. Again, both, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not hating on either one of them, but it's just different.
Yeah, it is. Where do you think, like, how do you think this transition, you know, why did it happen from, like, the 90s to now? Because I know, like, Tim was kind of, sort. It seemed like he was kind of, like, blaming it on the white culture for all the consumerism and today's...
Well, do you mind if I hit this one
please.
For a second? I mean, they're money, definitely. I mean, that's definitely the, you know, that's... I like money. However, you know, when it comes to... So hip hop became a product that, like, oh, whoa, this isn't going away. This is a viable product.
It's here to stay.
It's here to stay, right? So that happens. You get, you know, certain entities, corporations, whatever, that want their hand in it. And so what he's talking about, what you're hearing right now, when you hear a group, and you may only hear from them from a little bit. You know what I mean? They make their money. They have to pay that money back. They don't pay it back, and whatever. But that's, you'll still hear that song for the next however long. Mm-hmm. A lot of these dudes now are, I think, getting more business savvy. So there's a lot more businessmen out there than rappers, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And to be honest with you, I think Master P kind of really, like, put that, I mean, as far as, like, business dudes with the game, again, not a group I was really into, but I kind of respected the way he went at it, owned it, you know, he owned stuff. So it's like they start making their own companies, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, but money is the reason why. Money gets in it gets saturated, and you can, you know, once you pay, you drop a few dollars in somebody's faces, they're gonna do pretty much what you want them to do.
Yeah, and I'd like to tag on, I think the culture of the music industry has shifted so much just in the last 10 years. I mean, we want immediate satisfaction, and so they've got to be pumping out things that sell. And it's like, you know, back in the day, you would wait until that CD dropped, and that was the only way to get it. And you would pay that $15, and you would go to the show, and you would pay a $30 ticket. And it's like, now the only way artists can really support themselves is if they're touring endlessly. I mean, there's just so much pirated music out there. So I think that there's that shift as well.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, yeah, yes, technology.
Yeah.
Just again, love to, that was fantastic, thank you. I just again like to mention that this is a call-in show. For any questions or comments, the number is 780-4909.
Again, I'm Iris Sangiovanni, and with me tonight is
Milena German.
And in studio, our guests are Sonia Tomlinson and Saeed Brent, both local hip-hop artists. I guess, like, speaking for myself, I mean, I wouldn't consider myself, like, a hip-hop enthusiast, but I do, you know, I do like the music. And one of the things I was thinking about is, like, when I turn on the radio, and, I guess I think of rap, and, like, what is the distinction between rap and hip-hop?
Is there a clear distinction here? They go hand in hand.
Or is it more just, like, mainstream versus underground?
Okay, so when I hear the words hip-hop, I think of the culture, of all the entities, just like Tim described, the four elements. They are emceeing, DJing, graffiti, and breakdancing. And so I think of hip-hop as an entire culture. And in all honesty, that's what drew me to it, because it embraced several things around a community and a culture. When I was in ninth grade of high school, I traveled to Jamaica and just was submerged in music there. It's everywhere all the time. I mean, you can't escape music. And I thought about how reggae and dancehall, like, related to the island. And when I came home, I felt like what was emerging for me was hip-hop. And I love this idea that it embraced this culture. And when it's funny, my mom describes my music as easy-listening hip-hop, which is a term I've heard before, but she's like, you know, it's hip-hop I can handle. She's a woman in her 70s, you know? So for me, I also think of hip-hop as a certain brand of music too. Like when I think of underground, just like Saeed was referencing earlier, I think of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. When I think of rap, I think of something a little bit more, I don't want to say abrasive, but a little less, you know,
substantial. I know that's a perfect analogy for this. I can't really think
so
of
more
it.
Like a specific in the hip-hop culture, is what you're saying.
Dead air. Hold on. Rap would, I think, be the brand. Okay, and then you can get into specifics. You can get into, it's like, I don't know. I can't really describe it because I don't want to be like, this dude is rap, this dude's underground, because that's not how I feel. I know people really want to paint that distinctive picture.
Yeah, it's hard to classify.
And in all honesty, when you're doing it, for me, if someone said, you're a hip-hop artist or you're a rapper, I'll take either one.
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I mean? So
yeah,
it's not,
hand hand.
I don't think there needs to be a distinction. I actually think that could go by
you know
the
what?
Wayside.
From this right now, we're not making that distinction.
Never.
We just
ever again.
All right.
Okay. We are hip-hop rappers.
Exactly. Done. I want the moniker.
Alrighty. Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, like, well, talking about it more, like, I'm thinking more about, like, the culture with, like, breakdancing and stuff. It's just something that I'm not exposed to, so.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, there was this, the first main hip-hop summit, and as far as, like, talk about the Portland hip-hop scene.
It's awesome.
Is it?
I think it's.
It's lasting, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I came from Chicago originally, and you know, whatever. Big city, you know, a lot of hip hop going on there, a lot of nights. It's a part of, you know, a lot of different, you know, situations going on in the evening, daytime, whatever. It's there. I came here and I was like, it was like at one spot. Right, and like my friends took me. It's like, all right, let's go down to the spot. Like, it's like, this is hip hop. This is where it is. And I was like, I was like, this is dope. And I think why it's dope is because it's a community. Like, cats, like, you have to kind of not hate. You know what I mean? You kind of have, and whatever. There's that too. But like, you kind of have to like be a part of the whole group. Everybody's got to be a part of the group. You know what I mean? Like, the part of that culture, and because it's so small. You know what I mean? Like, your fans are his fans, my fans are your fans, and it's been, I mean, it's been going on well before I was here. I mean, this is OG right here. Serious, you know what I mean? This is Portland hip hop legend that's sitting next to me.
I'm whatever.
I've been here 6.5 years. It's been a lot of love, and done a lot of things. I've seen, even in that time, I've seen cats do some big things, which is really impressive. You know, our man Spo's doing his thing. You got, you know, Shoop and I-9 being, you know, Wu affiliates and Ilby, you know, going, you know, on tour and all that. So it's cats doing some big stuff here.
So you're seeing it evolve kind of like.
Yeah.
So it evolves. It has been evolving like pretty quickly, right?
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, OG, God, that's sort of like. Ages
Did
me.
I date you?
No, it's all right. So I moved to Portland, I guess it was, I'm in my 14th year as of June, and when I got here, again, sort of the same thing, there was one place that had an open mic night, and for all of you listening, I do not want to front. I have unplugged
ever so slightly, because I have worked hard for a dozen years, and I've done two albums and an EP and done a video and done a tour, and never in my life did I plan to have music financially support me, but I never also wanted to give it up. So I have this new reference. I'm calling myself the Sally Ride of Portland hip hop. She was the first woman in space.
Yeah.
And then she actually, after the Challenger incident, she said she planned to fly again. And she never flew, but she devoted her entire career to teaching young people. She developed a STEM institute, so to get young women interested in science and math. And so a big part of the last 3 years for me, and Saeed and I have taught together several times, is making sure that, because for me, my entry point was high school, and I was really supported, and I was in a community that actually didn't have much to do with hip-hop. I was in Middlebury, Vermont at the time, but I felt supported. My friends supported me, my sister supported me, my teachers supported me, and so I just want to be that person that is standing, you know, behind someone and gently pushing them out onto the stage and letting them know, pursue whatever you want. I don't care if it's indie rock. I don't care if it's metal. Just get out there and get yourself on a mic, because the amount of self-confidence and the way that can work for you is tenfold in life. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
So can we tie that into a question for both of you, as you're both educators for youth? How would you go about really teaching rap and hip-hop culture to youth? Because... where are your connections to where you're teaching?
Yeah, I did. So I've done a bunch of hip hop workshops around town and to middle schools and high schools and what have you. I mean, I think if there's an interest there, that definitely helps. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there has to be an interest there. Like, you know, like, okay, well, what is this? Let me, you know, I'm curious about this. And for me, as far, I guess I'm just an easy way of doing it, it's exposure, you know what I mean? So, like, my wife at the time, Kira, was doing these projects with me, and it was cool, because we had a little curriculum. We had videos, you know, some old breaking videos, old freestyle videos, old, you know, music. We just brought, like, old music, like music that we liked, you know what I mean? And played it. Like, they're like, what? Who's that? You know, who's this? Who is this? You know, I play Heavy D. I was like, I put, some Common in. They were like, what's, you know? But, so I just played music that I enjoyed, that kind of really symbolized hip hop for me. And then, you know, there's footage of breaking footage and footage of even Graph, which was awesome. Friends of ours that brought in kind of, you know, the DJ just bring the tables in, and literally just, I mean, if you want to know, you got to show, you know what I mean? So, like, we just showed them. And this is what's out there. You can all access it. It's all sort of not free, but you can get it.
Yeah.
So we just exposed them. I think it's exposure. If you want to find out about something, get into it, you know.
Yeah, and I'm a teaching artist at the Telling Room, and I've worked there and at Portland High School's International Club and Pebble Street Teen Center, and actually at Long Creek. So what up, Long Creek?
Hello.
Several other places. But the thing that I do, a lot of my focus, because my strong suit is writing, I demystify hip-hop, because it can be intimidating. Like, I'm signing up for a hip-hop workshop. I know I don't have rhythm. I know I'm interested, so what do I do? So there's a couple of exercises that I do, and don't steal them. If you're an educator, I'm about to give you my secret. One, I print out the lyrics to something. So, like, it might be the latest, whatever it might be that's on the radio. Let's say, I'm just going to give Drake a lot of love right now, whatever it might be. And I print them out, and I don't say what they are. And I'm like, what are you reading? And a lot of times kids don't know. So it's like, listen to your lyrics, because it all starts with writing. That's what it is. That's your words on paper that get attached to a beat. And then another thing I do is I play this thing called the rhyme game. So I sit kids, I sort of do a like a an MC battle. So that's what a lot of kids know as a reference. Like, I watched 8 Mile once, and that's my association to rap. And so I'll put kids lined up across from each other and pair them, and then I'll hand one a flashcard, and it has the word cat on it, and they're timed, and they have to go back and forth, like rhyming cat, bat, hat. Ooh. And yeah, don't do it, Saeed, you can steal it. And then we get to, you know, like, it gets competitive, and so I start simple, and then eventually get into writing prompts, and I ask people who their favorite artists are, so I have an idea of, you know, what lyrics they're drawn to and what. So
yeah, so it's really just like setting the spark for their.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because there's an interest there.
You know, definitely. And
you also have to let them go, right?
And let them go. And a lot of times it's, you know, people have the interest in writing as well, so that, you know, they've done it or they want to do it, they've done other type of writing. So, like, you kind of already.
I segue there with poetry. I'm like, you've definitely all done poetry.
Definitely.
Write this haiku. You can do it.
You
start
do
small.
It.
Yes. I want to talk more about that. But let's put a pause on this discussion because we are going to be going into break. So stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to good. There lived a little boy who was misled by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you tonight, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making the dance. They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another, and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DT undercover. The cop grabbed his arm, he started acting erratic. He said, keep still, boy, no need for static. Punched him in his belly and he gave him a slap. But little did he know the little boy was strapped. The kid pulled out a gun, he said, why'd you hit me? The barrel set straight for the cop's kidney. The cop got scared, the kid he starts to figure, I'll do years if I pull this trigger. So he cold dashed and ran around a block, cop radios into another lady cop. He ran by a tree, there he saw the sister. Shot for the head, he shot back when he missed her. Looked around good and from expectations, he decided he'd hit for the subway stations. But she was coming and he made a left. He was running top speed till he was out of breath. Knocked an old man down and swore he killed him. Then he made his move to an abandoned building. Ran up the stairs up to the top floor. Opened up a door there, guess who he saw?
Who?
Dave the dope fiend shooting dope. Who don't know the meaning of water nor soap? He said,
I need bullets, hurry up, run. The lowlife brought back this dope machine gun.
He went outside, but there was cops all over. Then he dipped into a car, a stolen Nova. Raced up the block, flew in 83. Crashed into a tree near university. Escaped alive, though the car was battered. Rat-a-tat-tatted and all the cops scattered. Ran out of bullets and he still had static. Grabbed the pregnant lady and pulled out the automatic. Pointed out ahead, he said the gun was full of lead. He told the cops, back off, for honey here's dead. Deep in his heart, he knew he was wrong. So he let the lady go and he starts to run on. Siren sounded, he seemed astounded. And before long, the little boy got surrounded. He dropped his gun, so went the glory. And this is the way I have to end this story. He was only
17
in a madman's dream. The cop shot the kid, I still hear him scream. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. Just another case about the wrong path. Straight and narrow are your soldiers cast. Good night, good night, good night.
Knock 'em off the block. Knock 'em out, dude. Knock 'em off the block. Knock 'em out, dude. Knock 'em off the block. Knock 'em out, dude.
Knock, 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 knock,
Tonight, partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty winds, small hail, and heavy rainfall this evening. Lows in the upper 60s, west wind around 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain, 30%.
Tuesday, partly sunny, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may be severe with damage-causing winds and large hail. Humid with highs in the upper 80s. Southwest winds around 10 miles an hour, and chance of rain is 50%.
On Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Then mostly cloudy after midnight. Some thunderstorms may produce damaging winds, large hail, and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-60s. West wind around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. 40% chance of precipitation.
Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly sunny, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon.
And on Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the mid-60s. West wind around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Chance of rain is 40%. You are listening to WMPG and W281 AC, Southern Maine Community Radio from the University of Southern Maine.
Welcome back. This is Blunt Youth Radio, Youth Run Public Affairs Call-In Talk Show. The number is 780-4909, so please call in with any questions, comments. You know, what do you think about hip-hop? Again, 780-4909. I'm Iris Sangiovanni, and with me,
Milena Germán.
And tonight we are talking about hip-hop. In studio with us, we have Sonia Tomlinson and Saeed Brent, both local hip-hop artists.
I'm scared people won't know my real name, which is funny. But Santiago. But it's funny because earlier you interviewed Tim Clorius, and or you didn't, the Blunt Youth Radio, or the Long Creek folks did, and I ended up writing something on a paper to Saeed. I said, wait, who is Andrew Coffin? Like, we all know each other by our aliases, which is really funny. Saeed's easy, because he's just Saeed.
Yeah. Awesome.
Actually, yeah, we were, so your hip-hop name is Santiago, and, you know, tell us, like, the story behind that.
I wish it were better, honestly, so... before I lived in Maine, I was going to UNC Greensboro, North Carolina. I was in a group with two guys that rapped and one guy that made beats. It was called Sleepy Hollow. Not the best name in the world, I get it. But my friend Anthony, a.k.a. John Marks is his rap name, we were caravanning, actually, to practice. And there was another girl, believe it or not, that rapped in our town. And her name was Sonia. I forget her last name, but it started with a P. And my name is Sonia Tomlinson with a T. So they would call us Sonia T, Sonia P. And it got tiring, so eventually everyone just called me Son T. And then one day, my friend Anthony, who's a big Sopranos fan, rest in peace, Tony Soprano, and that's another alias. And we're driving to practice, and he stops his car at a red light, and he gets out, and he's like Santiago, like Madman Santiago, like, you know, in The Sopranos. And I was like, no, I don't know. And he's like, that's your name from here on out. And it stuck.
That's actually a good story.
It's not terrible.
That's a good story.
I wish it was like, oh, it's the capital of Chile, but with the spelling of my name. You know?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, we were talking about it, and, I mean, we didn't know the backstory to it, but we thought it kind of came off as kind of, you know, masculine, and we're like, you know, like, we weren't sure if you were doing that sort of consciously to sort of...
Oh, I like it. You know, sort of like the woman that wrote Harry Potter.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling.
Yes. I wish I was that smart. Nope. The funny thing is I have a Google alert set up for Santiago, and there's this couple in Chile that has a son named Tiago. So it says, you know, whenever they post something about their son Tiago, bam, I get the alert. So I know a lot about this little Tiago.
We're watching you, Tiago. Just so you know. In Portland, Maine.
Hi.
So no, unintended. No.
I got a couple aliases, but I just like Saeed, and it's just easy. I did Parallel for a while, and then I think a couple of friends of mine here were like, that's dumb. And I'm like, it got to the point where I was like, what do you want to put on the bill? Saeed or Parallel? Let's put Saeed down. It's like, I think I was, this is how creative I am. I freestyle and it's too, you know, I freestyle to everything. I mean, in every type of music genre you can name, I figure out a way to flow to it. So I was like, oh yeah, parallel to beats. I'm parallel to any beat. It's stupid. I get it. So it's Saeed. Every once in a while I'll throw like Black Castro, but Saeed.
What is the origin of Saeed, or what does Saeed have a meaning or another?
Yeah, it means happy, actually. It's got meaning in Persian, Swahili, and Arabic. And happy. And in Arabic, it's happy. And like either Persian, Swahili, it's like master, mentor.
Yeah.
Words, you know, pretty drastic. But
so, speaking of good names, can we give a shout out to Omari?
Oh, my little mans, yeah. My son Omari is here with me in the studio.
Hey.
He's in the engineering booth. What's up, man?
Hi, Omari.
Hey, Omari.
Hey,
I wish this was like television or a podcast right now that you could see.
He's pretty adorable.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So yeah, that's.
So is it, like, pretty commonplace for people to have aliases?
What is what? Hip-hop?
Like in the hip-hop scene.
Yeah. I mean, when I hear people's real names, like, you know, like, I'm like, what, dude? Actually, to be called your real name can sometimes be, you know, like...
Catch you off guard.
No, like, kind of a diss, you know what I mean? Like, when it's like your mom talking to you, like, you know, Jeffrey, you know what I mean? Like, you know... Like, you know, I mean, you hear a lot of other names, you know, Curtis Jackson, 50 Cent, you know, like, what's O'Shea Jackson is like, you know, Ice Cube. I think they're all cool names, but, like, I think a lot of, you know, growing up, maybe cats got punked, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, definitely that mask, it's the whole mask.
There is an entire website dedicated to revealing hip-hop artists' real names, just so you know. It's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Something that I kind of associate with, at least the sort of the music you hear on, like, you know,
mainstream pop
stations is, well, I mean, because they're played on the radio, like, they're censored. Like, what are your thoughts on censorship? And do you feel it sort of impacts your art?
Does it limit you in any way?
I mean, she has...
I feel... Okay. I work with young people.
Yeah.
I feel pretty strongly. So, you know, when it's us in a rehearsal and it's not a performance, I say, write it in there. Write in exactly how you want it at first. And then I go back and I revisit it. And I say, okay, how else could you say that? How could you diss someone without having to use a word that stops people in their tracks? Because you want to make sure if you're leaving an impact on an audience, you're leaving the impact for the right reasons. And a lot of times people can get dismissive if they hear too many swears or, you know, but at the same time, I feel, we're talking about different kinds of censorship. You know, MIA's video to Bad Girls was censored. And that's the type of censorship that I'm not into. But I personally, it's funny. Every record that I've made, I swear on it. Not a lot. I think there's three. So if you have to say it and make your selections, you know, choose your battle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't... putting out my audience. So a lot of my stuff is in my audience is, of age anyway. Mm-hmm. So for me and in most situations like that, it's an issue. However, you know, I do have a son. So, you know, if I'm riding around with him at, you know, whatever in the afternoon and, you know, I don't want him hearing all kinds of crazy, like I was just about to say, stuff coming out of somebody, you know. So yeah, they edit, but like some song, you know, like, and it sounds weird because you know what the song sounds like, and you're trying to sing along with it, and it's like,
you were talking about like Macklemore earlier, and like his thrift shop, like it just sounds so different on the radio, and it's like,
much different.
But it's, you know, like it. What show late night actually?
Ben Weinstein's show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it then, man. You know, it's like
sometimes necessary.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can't. It's public airways. I mean, you can't have all that out there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm fine with it if that's what we were talking about.
Also, like, I mean, how do you, like, work around, like, in the hip-hop culture, like derogatory, like, terms just kind of being thrown around and, you know? Do you see that happening?
Yeah.
Often?
Yeah. Again, you know, we both do work where, you know, we're sending a different message out there. Mm-hmm. And I have an issue with it. I definitely have an issue with it. You know, the derogatory views and words and with women particularly. I mean, and that's what we're talking about, where hip hop is going. Like, there's that part that's there, and it's, I got an issue with it. It's hard to navigate it sometimes. I don't put it in anything I do. So that's kind of my way of doing it. And when we can speak out about it, I do, you know, like, here is a situation where I can speak out about it.
Yeah.
Profanity, you know, and racism, or, you know, hating on gays and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm not, this we've come too far. You know what I mean? Like, spend a little time, write a little bit of something else. You know what I mean? Have your views. I just don't,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but as far as women's concerned, there's a big problem with that, the misogyny going on with that issue.
And, you know, Santiago, you know, being a woman yourself, you know, how do you...
So it's really, I have to find a balance. And the thing that Saeed said, so we have the intelligence to filter and remove ourselves, decathect from, like, the meaning of something. So I can listen to an Outkast song that might have some lyrics that I'm not that into, but I can brush it off my shoulder. I can, you know, I don't take it for face value. A lot of young people that are getting exposed, you know, and I work with a lot of new Americans, and it's like, people get a lot of their media from TV, from radio, and it's like, we need to clean up the expectation that is set of an entire genre of music. And I take issue with doing something just to move yourself forward.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's interesting. I once had a student say something to me that really took me aback. He said, yeah, well, and I said, you know, you need to shift what you watch and what you support and really investigate everything that you're getting behind if you're going to make a choice to listen to this music. And he said, you mean like all the girls in bikinis and videos? And I said, yeah. I said, you know, that's not real. Look at those women and look at your mom. And like, what's more real? And he said, yeah, but nobody's forcing them to be in those videos. And I'm like, yeah, because they're being lured with money. It's just all cyclical and it's part of the same game. And like, I don't appreciate artists like Kesha who are like, oh, I'll take the typical male stance and I'll, you know, I'll totally run this guy through the ringer and like, abuse him and diss him and use him for a one night stand. I'm just like, wait, so then you're fitting that profile and now you're saying that's how you get the upper hand? So yeah. It's probably not going to evaporate in my lifetime. And I think that the only thing you can do is be a person with integrity and make your choices and just be aware. I think awareness is huge.
Huge, huge. Definitely. I mean, and if I can, real quick, it's, you know, artists are doing this. I mean, and it's not just hip hop, you know, it's other, definitely other genres too, but just doing it to do it, you know. I don't think people realize how hurtful, how much like hurt that and pain that causes, you know what I mean? Especially to cats coming up. Listen to things like that with so this being one medium they're getting information, and then, you know, with video games being another media they're getting information, whatever they're watching on TV, whatever's going on in the locker room, it's like all that stuff usually, it basically adds up to women being seen from here to here. You know what I mean? Like, there's no brains involved in that. Mm. There's no, you know, they're not painting a full picture. And so, you know, we had Kotz just talking about, oh, I, you know, we had three of them in a blah, blah, blah. It's just, yeah. It's so senseless. It's so senseless, and it's nothing but hurtful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a problem.
It is, and I think that a lot of people feel like I can be a gimmick. I can be sellable, and the motto I hold true to myself is my music's going to live beyond me. Am I proud of every single bit of it that I've ever put out there? Yeah, I am.
Very powerful points to both of you. I mean, like,
if you could see us, Sayid and I, like, leaning in, gripping the table.
No, like, it's like, really encouraging to listen to, you know, you're both, like, really prominent in the hip-hop culture and the scene in Portland, so you guys, like, are representing,
great for people to hear that.
You know, the good stuff. Integrity.
We just fist bumped.
Sorry, can't see that. Go
Again, I'd like to mention that this is a call-in show, and the number is 780-4909.
All right, and again, we're talking about hip-hop, if you couldn't already tell, with Sayid and Santiago. I'm Iris, and with me is...
Melina.
So, to go off what we were kind of talking about, because I do feel like that music is just, like, a really large... I know, like, music is big in my life, as I feel like it is in, like, the rest of society, and so when you do have artists that sort of represent, like, sort of this negative, derogatory, you know, stuff, it I do feel like it impacts people, but it's good that there are people out there that are fighting to bring more integrity into the culture and stuff. With that said, do you guys consider yourselves, like, role models?
You know what? I had a high school teacher, Miss Bromley, if you're listening, at Governor Dummer Academy. She told me, she was like, and it, it's a boarding school in Massachusetts, so there was like five of us. When I mean of us, I mean like black folks. but it was cool. It's a small school. Anyway, she told me, she was like, look, she sent me in the office and she said, look. You are a large black man in this community. And it wasn't anything weird. It was like, this is what it is. You're a presence, basically. That's what she was saying. She's like, you're a role model whether you want to be or not. And I feel that a lot of situations that I've been in, that has happened. You know, whether it's, teaching, whether it's doing workshops, or whether it's just being, somebody in a community who, for some reason, people, admire or look up to for whatever reason. I'm not trying to like pat myself on the back, but whether I want to be or not, yeah, I am, and I have a son, so yes, I am a role model.
Yeah,
for sure.
Again, with like, I want to be as humble as I can in the statement. I operate in my life every day as if I am a role model to young people. Mm-hmm. I think it's crucial, and I think you could catch me behaving the exact same way I would at a workshop as I would if I were at a hip-hop show at Space. And I think that, like Sayid said, that's really important. And, and I don't think any of us want to play on, why we're so unique, but being a woman in hip-hop, it's less and less of an anomaly, and I'm grateful for that. And there's a lot of people in our community doing great things. Christina Contigian, Lady Essence, Kenya Hall.
Holla.
Yeah. Holla. And it's nice because we can form these little alliances and just say, we are people that young people look up to. And for me, I like to give young people opportunity to. So I released a video in November for a single called Muscle Car, and I was able to get 4 of my students in the video. And I just thought, there's your start, keep going. So yeah, I love being a role model. It's a very important part of my life.
And for me, it's a check. It's like, I'm no angel. I mean, I couldn't sit up here on this radio with whoever's listening and be like, what, dude? I do have to be conscious and think about things I do. And especially when I'm in, a public forum.
I hope I didn't sound like, I'm so self-righteous. It's just like, I'm in the community, out in the community a lot, and I realize how small Portland is every day.
So small.
About that, Maine is kind of like one of like the whitest states in the country, and, how does that play into the Portland scene, hip-hop, Just go along with that. What do you rap about? Because we're in Maine. I don't know, do you pull
lobsters and, you know, trees? Or is it, you know, what do you rap about?
I don't think
about?
I've ever said lobster. That's a lie. I'm sure I have.
Because, like, I feel like people, when they think of, like, oh, hip-hop in Portland, you know, like, yeah. They think, oh,
well,
that's much.
I think a lot of people thought that. And whatever, you know, it's good. You know, cats have skills here. I can't really, you know, just because they're, you know, that most of them are white, that's not a factor at all. Like they're more of a hip hop enthusiast than I am. I mean, I'll be the first to say it. You know what I mean? I'm not a hip hop enthusiast. I like hip hop music. I love to make it and do it. But, you know, there's cats that are, they live it, they love it, they're in it, and it's real. You know what I mean? They are here and they're from Maine, and that's the only difference. You know, they didn't come from Brooklyn or Chicago or whatever, but that doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm not from Maine, but I found the Portland hip-hop community to be so supportive, so welcoming. And as far as, like, inspiration and catalyst for writing, I'm a writer. You know, hip-hop, no matter what it is, I'm a writer, and anything influences me. I journal, I jot down, you know, I have, like, 100 pieces of paper at any one time. I have a love of storytelling, which I think was a strong influence in early rap. You think about, Henry just played Slick Rick.
Yep.
Slick Rick, just the idea of storytelling through song. So actually, a lot of my songs are about someone else, and it might be me speaking about them, or it might be from their vantage point. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, for me, I do a lot of freestyle. I got a group of productions, Holla, big shout out to my mans and them. But so a lot of my stuff is really just kind of in the moment, you know. And if I'm thinking about something in particular, that comes out. But yeah, it's pretty spontaneous. I had something else that was really smart to say.
Everything you've been said is really smart, Saeed.
I'm gonna be calling you. How does that sound? Does that sound okay?
Well, I was kind of just thinking about, like, what, I don't remember the name of it, but one of Spose's songs, like, I felt like he did a really good job of, like, he had a lot of, like, Maine references. I mean, like, he's from Maine, but he also just talked about, you know, like, having money and, you know, not having money. And so, I don't know, I really like, Santiago, what you were saying about just being a writer. Like, I feel like it's really cool to sort of, that you identify yourself as a writer.
Yeah.
And,
that's, and I would like to say, Spose, I think he has a way of being so ironic and so creative at the same time. He really has sort of nailed that little niche. Definitely. I mean, his song, All Ours, that just came out.
Check
I mean,
it. Check
come
it.
On.
Check the video.
Yeah.
Check it if you haven't. Check it.
Yeah. And, and I love that he represents. It's like, I'm from Wells, there is no shame, and I really appreciate how he crafts a song.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. And
I real quick, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, no problem.
You messed up. You got some talkers on y'all. I have met some of the most creative cats here that I've ever met, on the production side, in particularly, and the lyrical. But you know, getting back to how it influences, there's some serious talent in this town.
Yeah, and what's cool about this town, so I often work with a DJ, Gabe FM, and a girl named Dilly Dilly. And so I feel Dilly Dilly is like from an art rock group called Cerberus Shoal from long ago. And I love that each genre sort of informs each other and lends to each other. You know, like one of my producers is Alias. He's worked with Postal Service and Death Cab for Cuties. So it's like everybody sort of comes full circle, and this community is open to that.
Awesome. Yeah, we are unfortunately out of time.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, time flies.
An hour went by, gosh. I just have to say it's really, really awesome having you in studio with us.
It's been great to meet you guys.
Pleasure,
yeah, it has. You guys, I got the personality and everything. I want to thank our engineers, Henry and Libby. I want to thank Reagan, if you're listening, for that feature. It was awesome. I'm Iris Sangiovanni.
I'm Elena Germán.
Next week we are going to be talking about patriotism. Oh, geek culture, I mean. So anyways, just be sure to stay, tune in next Monday. And up next is jazz. Thank you.
Support Blunt Youth Radio.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening.